Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Schönbrunn Moravian Church. If we could all repeat with me the watchword for the week. Jesus spoke to the disciples and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Welcome again, members, friends, visitors. News of the church. Today we have Second Sunday Cinema in the Fellowship Hall at 6 o'clock this evening. A reminder of the Brown Bag and Big Ideas at Tuscor Park tomorrow at 12 o'clock. We'll be manning a concession stand this Thursday night at Trumpet in the Land. Anyone wanting to help out with that, you can see me. If not, we'll take care of it. Christian Education Movie Night will be this Friday night at 7. There's worship. Different worships, women's worships this Saturday. And next week, we'll be in worship at historic Schönbrunn Village at 9:30 a.m. Covered dish luncheon to follow. Please bring your lawn chair as we will gather next to the parking lot to worship and bless the backpacks of our youth who will be heading back to school. In the case of inclement weather, we'll worship here in the sanctuary. And also, I noticed on that afternoon at the Schönbrunn Village, we are all invited for an afternoon of entertainment, education, and fun. It starts at 1 o'clock and goes till 4 p.m. At least you have anything more to mention about that? Okay. Thank you. And items for a September newsletter is due next Sunday. Let's see. And next Sunday we should have drinks and table service will be provided. So just bring covered dish and a lawn chair. I also had a note here. Raven Daily Text for 2018 are discounted if they're ordered by today. Just an example, soft cover would be $8.93 if ordered today, after today, it'd be $10.50. So anyone needing to order those would see Carolyn. Jackie? Okay. Or Pastor Ben, whoever. Get a hold of somebody and we'll take care of that. Any other messages or items? Becky?
I'm looking for ushers and greeters again. There's a sign up out to the north side. It'll be for September and October, so please sign up.
Okay, thank you. And I believe at this time, if we could have the campers from Camp Bethany. Did you hear that now?
And staff.
And staff, yes. Mom's not going to leave you out.
Camp Bethany, the theme was walk the line, and Jesus, help us walk the line and get the mean words out of our life. The slip and slide was very fun, and Goofy games were very funny. I made new friends, one from Navarre and one named Anna, and the other one was named Caitlin, and they were very nice to me all summer.
Okay, so yeah, the theme was Walk the Line based on the Johnny Cash song. Kristen McCulley did the program, and it was a very good program. We had some fun aspects to it. We had one day where we just sort of went out with our small groups and just sort of hung out and played games. We played board games. We played like Nine Square with our small group. We went hiking in the woods, so that was a good like team building day, like to build like family, like because some of the kids don't have that good family bond, so they got to play games with us and have fun. We had good Vesper services that Pastor John did. He did a very good job with Vespers, so we got all the Jesus-y stuff, and then yes, there was a lot of fun. And yeah, we did one night, we did a craft night. So one of the things we did was make geckos. I had one little girl that decided that she was making geckos for literally everybody. So I got it to take a gecko home too, even though I didn't get to make one. So yeah, it was a good week, and if you are the right age, completing second through sixth grade next year, you should come.
Being one of the older members there as a counselor, it was great. You can always learn from the children. It was so much fun, so much enlightenment, and the children learned a lot about Jesus and about their faith. And I can tell you that I've been through numbers of camps, and I continue to learn about my faith and learn about other things that I didn't know before. So it was great.
Well, I was only there for part of the week as a cook, and I hope they all enjoyed their food. We had some really, really good meals, I think, and I had fun chopping the veggies and the fruit and all that.
Thank you. At this time, let's greet our sisters and brothers in Christian fellowship.
Thank you. Please stay standing for the call to worship, which is found in your bulletin. Please return to your pews and look for the call to worship. Brothers and sisters, how should we proclaim the gospel story?
We testify about the Lamb who died for us.
Although he is the Son of God, he offered his life for our sins. How should we share the story of Jesus?
He looked out of the world about his courageous sacrifice and his love for us, even unto death on the cross. Thanks be to God.
Please stay standing and turn to page 401 in your hymnal for our hymn.
Good morning. Today is a special day in the life of the Moravian Church. Today we celebrate August 13, 1727, which was a day of spiritual rebirth for the Moravians, a day where they felt the spirit of Pentecost, not in the past, but in that moment in time. And as Moravians, we are very proud to live in that heritage, because not only was it just Moravians gathered there, it was the entire Christendom. So at this time, I ask us to remember the words of Zinzendorf on that day. He said, "Mission is simply this. Every heart with Christ is a missionary. Every heart without Christ is a mission field." So let us give thanks to the small acts of kindness that make us all missionaries by presenting our tithes, offerings, and gifts. Thank you. pray together. Move among us,
Spirit, and gather us together with you. Take our many selves, our lives, our love, our ideas, our questions, our speech, our silence, and unite us as your people. Give us the gift of perception and understanding, so that even as we dream your dreams, see your visions, we may be able to witness your presence in our common life. Amen.
You may be seated.
At this time, we have the prayers of the people, which is listed in the separate page in the bulletin. To be added to that is the family of Steve Long, who passed away. That's friends of the Martins. To the family of Jane Ann Reitman, who also passed away. I would say she was friends of all Moravians. And to the people of the tragedy in Charlottesville, let our prayers go out to those for that tragedy. Let us pray. Gracious Father, comforter and healer, bless and care for those names raised up to you today, either by word or in our heart. Care for their needs. And let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
the first scripture lesson can be found in Psalm 133 on page 443 in your pew Bible. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. And the gospel lesson can be found in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. It can be found on page 692 in your pew Bible. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the winds because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and, beginning to shrink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Will the children please come forward?
Morning, come on. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good? Wide awake? All right. So for our children's lesson today, we're going to do something that's going to be a little bit of a review, not only for you guys, but mostly for the adults. Because what we're doing, we're going to talk about what happens when we do communion. And communion is one of our two sacraments that we celebrate in the church. Does anybody know what the other one is? Has something to do with that fount right there? What's that? Oh, okay. It's baptism, when we baptize a little baby, but communion is very important too. Does anybody know what communion is short for? It's a word called community, because in order to come to the table, we have to have a community. So you're going to see a lot of different things when we go to communion. For example, I'm going to wear a robe that is white. Does anybody have any guesses? And adults too, why I wear a white robe? Aubrey, you got a guess? She's just excited. She's got the Holy Spirit going through her. Yes. What was that? Communion? Communion, that's one of the two times I wear a white robe. It's when we celebrate a sacrament. And when I wear white, that's a symbol that I'm no longer myself, that I'm representing God in that moment. So when I talk about a symbol, it's kind of like a Christmas tree on Christmas, or how the American flag celebrates freedom. It's something that I'm not exactly, but something that I represent. Because guess what? Am I perfect? No. Look at my wife. She agrees with you very much. So what do we get when we celebrate communion? We get two things. Anybody want to guess? Nicholas, what two things do we get when we receive communion?
God.
What was that? God? God, that's actually a very good answer. We get the bread, which symbolizes Jesus' body, and we get grape juice, which symbolizes Jesus' blood. And what that symbolizes for us is that what, Rylan?
It's a grape juice. Is it like fruit
or whatever? Yeah, that's exactly right. And that symbolizes God's love for us. That's what that symbolizes.
It's a red heart, though.
Yeah. We should put a red heart on that. I think somebody's got a communion idea right there. And so the important thing we do when we get communion is when we hold we get the elements, we call them the elements, the grape juice and the bread, is we hold on to them. And you guys did something in VBS where you raised money. What did you guys raise money for?
Clean water.
Clean water. So everybody in the world could have clean water, right? Yeah, even people that have that gross, stinky water.
Poop water.
Oh, poop water. I'm sure your dad is smiling back there right now. But we hold on to the communion elements to remember what the world would be like if everybody in the world had clean water or clean bread before we all ate or all drank. And that teaches us to be a community, that we symbolically in that moment be a community. So what I want you guys to remember during communion is that it's something you go through when you're ready, when your parents feel like you understand what is going on. So sometimes you may not get a bread or grape juice right away. You may get a blessing, but it's kind of like when we get medicine. Sometimes we take it with a pill, or sometimes we take it in a little bottle, and it doesn't matter how we do it, but that we're getting the medicine. And that's just how communion works when we get a blessing from God. Because each and every single one of us in this sanctuary is blessed and loved by God. And I don't want you guys to ever forget that, okay? Can we pray? God, we give you thanks for these children, for the wonderful blessing they are. They are truly the leaders of our church with their hearts, with their smiles, with their laughter. Help us to follow in their footsteps. Help us to be people of joy, of kindness, and help us to see that you are there with us through all things, God, and that we can take those little steps of faith towards you every single day. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. You may go back to your seat after you grab a sucker. Everybody take a turn. That's part of communion sharing, too. So before I get started on my message today, I want to make you aware of some special guests that we're going to put on the spotlight. One is Mason, a good friend of mine from camp. Mason, give everybody a wave. Mason, we met each other at Tar Hollow, and he is one of the people who really let God's love and light shine in, and we're just here to support him and celebrate him. And I also want to introduce Jim and Connie Miner in the back row from Westland, Michigan. They would be Scott Miner's parents. God bless them. But they were actually, they're members of Grace Moravian Church, and that was the first church I served as a student pastor. So they can tell you what a miracle it is that I found a wife someday. So let's have a moment of prayer after that. God, we come before you today thankful for the Holy Spirit in our lives, active and present Spirit, one that is always showing us the way to love and to you, God. Help us to recognize it. Even though we can't always see it, hear it, or feel it, we know you are there, God. We know you are there leading us exactly where we need to be, surrounded by exactly who we need to be with. And we thank you for that, God. Amen. So August 13, 1727, you heard me talk about it a little before, is the day one of the most important events happened in the life of the Moravian Church. We love to teach that a beautiful worship service took place on Zinzendorf, Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf's estate in Herrenhut, Germany. The people felt the Spirit of the Lord descend upon them, and they had a love feast to commemorate the event. The problem is that is only half the story. See, it took a lot of hard work and change for this community to get to that point where they could feel the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would not have descended upon them if that community did not completely commit themselves to change in how they operated in the months prior to that. See, August 13th was not about one day in the life of a church, but it was about a long journey they were taking together to become better disciples of Christ. For earlier in 1727, it became apparent that the honeymoon phase on Count Zinzendorf's estate was over. On his estate lived refugees from the ancient Moravian Church, Church of the Brethren, Lutherans, Reformed, and Baptists. And at first, it was a beautiful blend of Christian diversity. But the argument soon started after. They argued about holiness, baptism, predestination, and the direction of the community. They stopped trying to learn from one another and became more focused on winning arguments. The I became bigger than the we. And journeyman carpenter Christian David, the very man who first approached Zinzendorf about finding asylum for the Moravians on his estate, decided to move outside of the community because it was that bad. He built a house in the woods, dug a well, and according to our historians, waited for the destruction of the city, just like Jonah. 10 times Christian David had gone back and forth to Austria, risking his life on each trip to lead people who were religious refugees to Zinzendorf's estate. And now both David and the people he rescued saw each other as enemies. In fact, it got so bad that Zinzendorf obtained an indefinite leave of absence from his duty as count and turned his private affairs over to his wife. And my mother and wife would tell you that's the best decision he ever made. And from those few months, he lived out of the village orphanage, the leader of the church. And he went door to door, visiting with the whole community, trying to bring peace back to this beloved community. So Zinzendorf put together a brotherly agreement that was signed on May 12, 1727. There were 42 statutes that focused on what the community agreed on instead of what they did not. It was shortly after this time that Zinzendorf was given a copy of John Amos Comenius' Ratio Disciplinae, which is written about 200 years ago, 200 years and he was stunned how similar in nature it was to their recently chartered brotherly agreement. And Zinzendorf started to take seriously that the mustard seed of immigrants placed on his doorstep might truly be the rebirth of the unity of the brethren 200 years later. So the people began to fight less, and they prayed together more. Historian Evan Wink said, in July, a great portion of the community covenant together to meet often, to pour out their hearts in prayer and song. On August 5th, the Count spent the whole night in prayer with about 12 or 14 others, following a large meeting for prayer at midnight, where great emotion overtook everyone in the room. It was a series of gradual steps. See, Moravian historian J. Taylor Hamilton said on that August 13th service, it began with the pastor, Pastor Roth, giving an address about the sacrament. And he said at that time he would be joining his congregation as a guest at the Lord's table and not as a leader, because he realized in that moment he needed God's forgiveness as much as anyone, if not more so. So he asked an apology of the congregation for his poor leadership. And he asked another pastor to distribute the elements. And Zinzendorf led a public confession of sin, where he asked for the union of hearts and the freedom from schism, for renewed fellowship in Jesus. And he asked God to bless Christian David, somebody who saw him as an enemy, but he asked God to bless him. And at that time, Christian David was a missionary in Hungary. And those who were there partook in communion, and they felt the God's Spirit overwhelm them. And they called it a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Christian David returned to that community two weeks later. He had a question. What happened on the morning of August 13th? Because he said on that day at 10 a.m., the exact time they were worshiping, he was in an orphanage in Hungary. And all of a sudden, he just received a strong urge to pray. And he went with his two travel companions to a tower, threw themselves down before Jesus, and they were overcome with tears and compassion for the congregation in Herrenhut. And eventually, Christian David moved back to town, and he lived in communion once again with his brothers and sisters. Nobody could explain it, but they all understood it. Their lives had been touched by the Spirit of God, and they would forever be transformed. Global missions across the world that still impact the Moravian Church today started from that feeling in that church. And it was Zinzendorf who said, there can be no Christianity without community. There can be no Christianity without community. And August 13th was a testament to that. Unfortunately, though, we live in a world that loves to draw lines in the sand between us and them. Our national battle over politics has trickled into the dialogue of our local communities, and it's become harder and harder to become friends on opposite ends of the aisle. And this week, I read an article on Facebook from the Times reporter about the Dover School District settling a lawsuit with Latino students. And the comments, as expected, trickled in very quickly from readers. However, there was little substance to the arguments, and you could tell most people hadn't even read the article. And the "I know you are, but what I am" battle between conservatives and liberals in this community ensued. And the self-righteousness of both sides of the aisle were appalling. Because if either side of an argument fails to treat their opponent with compassion, then both sides are wrong. If either side of an argument fails to treat their opponent with compassion, then both sides are wrong. That's what we learned from August 13th. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus miraculously walks on the water. What is challenging about this text that we heard is that we know that we can't. Like Peter, we often find ourselves sinking and crying out to Jesus Lord, save me. And I know whenever I turn on the national news and I see all the shouting and fighting, I know that I will sink the first step I try to take out of the boat and follow the path of Jesus. I know it is I who is shouting, Lord, save me. I need that hand of Jesus that immediately reaches out to Peter and saves him. I think we all do. So how do we walk by faith in our world today? We must again look for the courage of Jesus to lead the way. We've got to meet people where they are. For if they are sinking like Peter, then we have to be willing to give them a helping hand. If they are facing addiction, illness, depression, or anything else, we have to be the strong hand that pulls them up and reminds them it is not their weakness that defines them. It is the heart that God gave them that truly marks their identities as disciples. The heart, that's what defines us. See, the worst thing we could do as Moravians is look at August 13th historically and beat our chest as a moment of pride. Because the Holy Spirit was felt that day not because God had a soft spot for Moravians, but because God saw a group of Christians that finally decided that God's love was going to be stronger than any difference that came between them. God saw a group of people who knew in their hearts that God was just as present in their world today as God was in the Bible. So what can we learn from this today? Pentecost, a day of spiritual renewal and rebirth, is not just a historic once-in-a-lifetime moment in the church, but it is a feeling that is available to any group of Christians who seek it. Linsendorf said, "There can be no Christianity without community. There can be no Christianity without community." And I ask that we come to the Lord's table today, realizing the Holy Spirit is just as active in our world as it was in the birth of the church, as it was in 1727, and as it is today. And I ask that we pray for people who think, believe, pray, and experience life differently than us. But let us not pray that their hearts change, but so that we can see the God-living light, God-given light in us is the same God-given light in them. The Pentecost of our generation will happen when we see God's work in this world happen far beyond our own hearts and our own buildings. See, spiritual rebirth is always possible for those who have faith in Christ to lead the way, and they're not afraid to ask Jesus for help. Don't ever be afraid to ask Jesus for help in your lives. Let's pray. God, we come before you today just thankful for how your Spirit has worked in this world. It is easy to look at our past and look at all the good things you did there and leave you in the past. But God, you are active and present. You are still capable of doing miraculous things today. Help us to be believers in that. Help us to be seers of what you are already doing in this world. For we know that you are a compassionate and benevolent God, and that your love will be there for us through all things. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, I would invite you to rise for our hymn number 762, Just As I Am Without One Plea.
may be seated. Before we get started with communion, I'd like to remind you that the Moravian Church practices an open communion table, so whoever is willing to accept Christ's love in their heart is welcome at our table. And I also ask you to remind you that if you want your child to be receive communion, that is your choice as a parent. So if you would like them to receive communion, have them put their hands open for me, and we will serve them. At this time, I'd like to invite you to the service for Holy Communion, which can be found on page 27 of your blue book of communion. So I invite you to join me there. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen.
Let us give the right hand of fellowship. Let us pray. God, we come before you today thankful that you have laid down our life for us, that you are a God who is humble enough to come in the flesh for us, to teach us how to love, how to live, and how to give. God, help us to all be your disciples. No matter what denomination we call home, we know that we belong to you, God. That you will lead us to your pastures, that you will lead us with our strong hand. For with Christianity comes the greatest community, a community to be considered a child of God. And we give you thanks for that. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may be seated.
We continue on page 33. Please rise. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." By your divine presence, by the holy sacraments, by all the merits of your life, suffering, death, and resurrection. In the same way, after supper, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." You may be seated.
continue on page 38.
Please rise. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Drink from this, all of you. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. Celebrated communion together as a pastor and congregation. As you notice, my robe is snow white this time, and I look forward to us being able to celebrate over the years. And as this robe grows with age, may we too grow with God and remember that our relationship always begins with our Lord leading the way. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace.